Our message this morning centers around the question, how do you remember Jesus? How do you remember Jesus? Memory, you know, can be a most precious possession. I'm sure you'll agree with that. Particularly so if our memories are pleasant ones. We erect monuments in order to preserve memory. You've only got to look around at some of our cities and see monuments to different people, well-known celebrities. Tend to perpetuate the memory of those people. We ourselves do the same with photographs. Artists, they do paintings, authors. And so, in these different ways, we preserve memory. And our Lord was very eager that his disciples would remember him as a proper, in a proper manner. Now, he knew that certain memories could serve as a motivating force for faith and faithfulness. So how do you remember Jesus? I believe there are many beautiful memories that can bless the heart. I want to suggest a few today. First of all, we should remember Jesus as a teacher. One of the most beautiful memories we can have of Christ is that of him sitting on the mountainside. The Sermon on the Mount. And there he was, in the midst of his apostles and his disciples, teaching them. He opened his mouth. He taught them. They listened eagerly to what he was saying to them. There fell from his lips heaven's infallible truth concerning life and the issues that we face day by day. We too need to listen. Listen to what Jesus is saying to us. Not to the minister. He is only the servant. But listen to what Jesus is saying to us. Day by day. In that Sermon on the Mount, he described the inward characteristics of the citizens of his kingdom. He described the inevitable influence of such people. He sets before us illustrations of the conduct of his true followers. How are we to live? You're the light of the world, he says. Let your light shine. Don't hide it. You're the salt of the earth. Okay. Be the salt of the earth. What does salt do? Salt tastes, doesn't it? Flavors. Salt preserves. That's the type of life we ought to be living. And salt creates a thirst as well. And so in our lives, as believers in Christ, we ought to be living that people who see us, well, there's a thirst for what we have. They want to get what we have. That desire to have Christ in our lives. He describes their motives, their fruitfulness, their stability of their life. That's what he wants us to be. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants to be stable in our lives day by day. He wants to, our motives always holding up the Savior. And so we today should heed what he had to say. Do we? We should recognize his authority as a teacher. We read the scriptures. We read about Jesus. We learn from the scriptures. We learn from those who come to proclaim God's word. You learn from your minister as he preaches the word of God. He teaches. And therefore, we should remember Jesus as a teacher. We should learn from him. What is he saying to us? Indeed, what is he saying to us now at this moment in time? As you think of your life, tell me, are you living your life as Jesus would have you live? I remember reading a book many, many years ago, and a minister was concerned about his people, and he said to them after service one day, anybody who's interested in really getting close to Jesus, wait behind. There was quite a number waited behind, and they talked and chatted about it. And every one of them agreed, before they would make any decision, they would ask, what would Jesus do? And then they would apply that and go ahead and do it. Now, there were people there, a newspaper editor. What was he to do? His paper came out on a Sunday. He was advertising drink, cigarettes, and all the rest of it. But he decided to do what Jesus would do, and he prospered. And so we could go on, and I haven't got time to tell you all about the rest of them. But they did that. And wouldn't it be good if we were able to do that before we make a decision? What would Jesus do? And then do it. If you can come to that point. So that's important. We should remember Jesus as a teacher. The second thing, we can remember Jesus as he dealt with sinners. In John 4, we have that wonderful story of that time when Jesus met with that woman at the well. We read there about how the Lord crossed racial and religious barriers in order to minister to an outcast woman who was no doubt crushed in her own eyes and considered absolutely nothing in the eyes of those who knew her. Our Lord, he was concerned. He was concerned for this sinful woman. He communicated with her the truth of God's great love. What does that tell us? What? Because he transformed her from being a fallen woman into being a true servant of God. Her life was changed. Why? She met Jesus. Through her presence, he blessed the entire village. You know that story well, don't you? And so I believe the memory of our Lord can encourage us to recognize the worth of every individual in today's world. Don't cast anybody aside. And as you live day by day, your life ought to be an influence on people. We ought to have that concern. We ought to have that burden for the lost. And we don't. I'm sorry to say, but we don't have that real burden and concern for people who are heading to a lost eternity, heading to hell itself. We haven't that concern that we ought to have, that burden for the lost that we should have. It's sad, but true. Tell me, when was the last time you prayed for the souls of men and women? When was the last time you shed tears over the lost? Friends, we're so comfortably off. We're having the concern and the burden for those who are lost. That's something we need to have, something we need to do. We need to take an example from Jesus as he dealt with sinners. We ought to be dealing with people in the same way, loving everyone no matter who they are. Because God can change lives. He can. I know. I've seen it down through the years. I've seen it when I was chaplain and McGilligan prison. I've seen it. People's lives been changed. And people who responded to love. I remember sitting around a table with some men in prison. We were doing a Bible study. I remember saying to them clearly, you know, men, I'm no different from any of you. Neither I was. I was a sinner. But I was a sinner saved by grace. Do you know those men appreciated that? Oh, so much. Friends, we need to show love for people. Take a leaf out of the Savior's book. He met this woman. He had compassion on her. He was concerned about her. No matter who he met, he had concern for them. He had compassion for them. He loved them. So, we should remember Jesus as a teacher. We can remember Jesus as he dealt with sinners. Thirdly, we can remember Jesus asleep during a storm. You remember that story, don't you? And there are times, and I'm sure you'll agree, there are times when each of us are threatened with the circumstances around us. There are times when it seems that the ship of our life will be destroyed on the rocks of adversity and failure. It happens. When this happens, I believe we should remember Christ, who with authority commanded the winds to cease blowing, the waves to cease tossing. Do you know, in our times in life, when there are storms about, when we don't know where to turn to, we're troubled and distressed. Where do I go? What's wrong with me? I can't seem to get any peace. There's a storm roaring within my life. What am I to do? Where can I go? He, Jesus, will come to us in the midst of the storms of life to give us safety and poise and inward peace. He's able to do that, you know. Because I love that story where he stands up in the boat and he says three little words. Peace, be still. The wind stopped. The waves stopped. They obeyed him. Why? Because he is the majestic God. He's the one who created the heavens and the earth. He's the one who made us. Will you remember Jesus asleep during the storm, waking up and stilling it? If you're facing storms in your life, if you're in difficulty or trouble or distress today, then I would say to you, look to Jesus, look to him. He's the one who'll say, peace, be still. Again, fourthly, we can remember Jesus as the Good Shepherd. In John 10, he describes himself thus, doesn't he? He loves, he leads, he provides for his sheep, he protects them, he calls them by name, one by one. Isn't that interesting? I always find that tremendously interesting to realize that Jesus knows all about us. Imagine that. Someone who sees everything you do. Doesn't matter who you are. He sees everything you do. He hears everything you say. He knows everything you think. Can you pause a moment? Because that would make me shudder. It does make me shudder. Knows what I see. Hears what I say. Knows what I think. That's Jesus. Because he's the Good Shepherd. But the hope we have in him that he loves us. And the good shepherd gave his life for his sheep. He gives us eternal life. Isn't that amazing? He gives us eternal life. And the security as well that can only come from the safety of dwelling in God's presence. The memory of our precious Lord can give us comfort and courage in our times of need. I think that is wonderful, isn't it? Tell me, are you one of his sheep? Because remember, all we like sheep have gone astray. So are you one of his sheep? Are you following him? Are you following Jesus day by day? Are you following after him? That is vital. That is important. So, we should remember Jesus as a teacher. We can remember Jesus as he dealt with sinners. We can remember Jesus asleep during the storm. We can remember Jesus as a good shepherd. And fifthly, we can remember Jesus in the presence of death. The shortest verse in the Bible, as you know, is John 11:35. It preserves for us a photograph of the grief of the Son of God in the presence of those who are suffering because of the death of a loved one. As I say, the verse contains only the two words, and yet a volume of truth is in it. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. The eternal Son of God weeping with Mary and Martha in their time of sorrow. You see, that's something that can encourage us, I believe. Because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He's the same. We can be assured then that he weeps with us in our times of sorrow today. That's the wonderful, amazing Savior that we have. And what a glorious Savior he is. Amazing, thrilling, exciting. The final thing I want you to note here, we should remember Jesus on the cross. Of all the memories which our Lord desired that his disciples retain, the one that he specifically requested that they should remember was that of his death on the cross. He instituted what we're going to be doing today. He instituted the Lord's Supper, in order that his memory, this memory, may be perpetuated. We want people to remember him, remember the cross, remember Jesus. He took the elements, didn't he, that remained from the Passover Supper, and he gave them a new content, a new significance. And he did this in order that the minds and the hearts of the disciples might be reminded again and again and again of the primary purpose for his coming into the world. He came to die. And he came to die for the sins of this old world of ours, didn't he? He came to die for the sins of the wayward, the lost, the helpless human race. And that's us. We're all born in sin and shaped in iniquity, weren't we? We've all sinned. We've all come short of God's glory. And the blessed Son of God, Jesus, he came to die that our sins might be forgiven. And he said, I want you to remember me. I want you to take the bread and wine. I want you to remember me. He wanted this memory preserved because this memory, more than any other, reveals the greatness of the compassionate heart of the Father God. Christ, the sinless, stainless, spotless Son of God, was dying upon a cross to reveal the greatness of God's love for sinners. It's amazing, isn't it? To think that God, a holy God, a mighty God, would love me or you, would love a sinner. But he does. And he died on the cross that our sins might be forgiven, might be taken away completely. What an amazing Savior we have. Can you think of that love then? Because when we take bread and wine, love cries out from those elements. Blood, love cries out as we think of the broken body and the shed blood. It's love. God loves you. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that brilliant? God loves you. God loves me. Although we're sinners, although we feel them, we've let them down, God loves you. You know, I love that little hymn that perhaps you learned at your mother's knee. Or maybe if a parent, you taught your little ones. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Friends, think about that. It's very simple, but yet it's profound, isn't it? It's powerful. Jesus loves me. Yes. Jesus loves you. Yes. The bread and the wine cry out that love. You know, it is true that evidently we needed to be reminded of this over and over again. Or our Lord wouldn't have specifically made plans to perpetuate this memory. He wouldn't have said this to in remembrance of me if he didn't realize that we needed to be reminded time and time and time again, because so often we gloss over the cross. So often we talk about Jesus dying, but that's it. It's only on the surface. There's no depth there. Yes, it is the memory of his death upon the cross that reveals to us in the most dramatic manner the word, the needs of the individual soul in the eyes of God. We need him, don't we? This great truth should not be neglected or rejected. Is there someone here? Maybe you haven't been to the cross. You haven't trusted Christ. Well, surely this time now to do that. It's time not to delay. We don't know what an hour, a minute brings forth. Will you come to trust him? Oh, this great truth, as I say, should not be neglected or rejected. How do you remember Jesus? Friends, as we partake of the elements of the Lord's Supper, let us focus our mind and our emotions upon the most significant event in all of history, when Jesus gave his life for us. As we visit Calvary, we contemplate his death. That's what we're doing in a moment or two, visiting Calvary, contemplating his death. Let us inform our intellect concerning God's great love. Will you do that? Will you realize God's love here is beaming out from the the bread and the wine. May each of us let this experience stir our emotions. Cause us to really love him and to trust him. Oh, I long that ere we leave this service today, that we would say, I really love the Lord. I really do. My love isn't just on the surface, but my love is deep. I love him with all my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength. I love him with all I've got. And so may each of us let this experience stir our emotions, cause us to really love and trust him. Let us make decisions during this experience to change our ways. We all need our ways changed, I believe. Bring them into conformity with the will of our loving Lord for our life. Will you do that? Are you prepared to do that? Oh, I trust that you are. And I trust that God will bless to our hearts these few thoughts. Remember Jesus as teacher. Remember him dealing with sinners. Remember him asleep during the storm. Remember him as the good shepherd. Remember him in the presence of death. But now, we remember him on the cross, dying for us. The bread, speaking of his broken body. The wine of his shed blood. May we be drawn so close to the Lord through our experience today that we leave this service richly and abundantly blessed. How do you remember Jesus? Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your precious holy word. Write that message clear upon all our hearts. That those of us who know and love you will be stirred, will be challenged, will be encouraged to love you more, to love you deeply, to love you fervently, to love you with all we've got. And Father, if it be any without Christ, may indeed your word be clear. Speak to hearts. Maybe even one soul will come and say yes to Jesus. So Lord, prepare our hearts now as we come to your table. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.